It's the Skyping Jake song.
Hello.
Hey, you, unfortunately, because of the very nature of the song, you missed the Skyping Jake song. But, I entreated everyone to sing along, and I don't know that they did. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to 10 Dozen Minutes of Bella Swan with, Jake and Mr. Skullhead. I'm Mr. Skullhead. We got Jake right here.
Who's Bella Swan?
Apparently the protagonist of Twilight, which I was not aware until one of my Facebook friends, who's a friend from high school who's gone all religious and Mormon and settled down and five kids, had a little thing that said, "I am Bella Swan." It's like, Bella Swan? Really? It's like if I'm sitting at the computer going, okay, so I'm going to write this story about a guy who talks to dragons, and let's see, the guy's going to be bald. He's going to have a goatee, and his name will be Rod Handsome Huge Dick. And Rod Handsome Huge Dick will be the best dragon talker in the land, and all the dragons will want to communicate with him, but he won't do it unless they are joined in the eyes of God.
I think you got a bestseller on your hands, Mr.
Yeah.
Spellhead.
I think I'm going to have to write
this. If you need to take a sabbatical from KOL work to really dedicate yourself to writing that novel, I cannot, in good conscience, just for the sake of the world, stop you from doing that.
Yeah, the world needs a dragon abstinence fable with Rod Handsome Huge Dick.
Yep.
As your protagonist.
yeah. What have you been up to?
Well, let's see. We had kind of a quiet weekend. We went to see Roger Klein and the Peacemakers on Thursday, which was always groovy. Got my flask taken away from me in the first 5 minutes of being in the room, though, so I felt kind of dumb.
Really?
But I got it back at the end. Yeah, man. So the opening act was doing the, you know, my throat's a little dry thing. And during the Roger show, when he does that, you pass up the flask, right? So I'm like, here, dude. He takes a drink from the flask. But the difference is, for the opening act, there's only like, you know, 20 people standing around the stage. So it's not really like, whoa, we don't know where that flask came from kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the bouncer came over and took the flask. And the owner of the club came back holding the flask and shaking with righteous indignation. And, like, it was a personal affront. He actually said, "Why are you trying to fuck with my living?" I was like, "Really?" So I don't make any money off of anything but the bar. Why are you trying to fuck me over? And so I said, "Sir, I think we need to step outside." And my wife freaked out. And I said, no, it's just loud in here." So we went outside, and I assured him that I had planned on buying a lot of drinks at the bar, too, and showed him my wallet full of cash that I had for that purpose. But that it was customary at these shows to give tequila in a flask to the lead singer, and that my tequila wasn't the kind that they sold at the bar. And so he graciously agreed not to kick us out and apologize for getting all up in my face, but still took the flask away until the end of the show. Left me with that feeling of kind of impotent rage being fucked with that you get in, like, high school when your teacher confiscates something that you know everybody else in the room has.
Yeah. I never got anything confiscated in school, I don't think, ever.
I used to get, like, books confiscated because I was putting, you know, like, a sci-fi book inside of my textbook because I'd already read the assignment twice.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know.
Still, good show, though. Good show.
I would just sit there staring off into space. The concert was good?
Yeah, they got a new guitarist, that guy Steve Larson that you met at the bar.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, "Hey, I don't really like your band, but you're kind of a cool guy." And, yeah, he left the band, but the new guitarist is real good. We introduced a couple of people to refreshments and Roger Klein. So it's always good to get some new converts up in the house. You're kind of the only guy who I've taken to a live Roger Klein show that hasn't come out going, "Wow, what an amazing show. I got to get all that music."
Huh. I don't actually really remember ever being at an entire one. For a while, yeah, this long stretch where every time we went to Mexico to see Roger Klein, something would happen that would make it so I didn't end up seeing the show or seeing the whole show.
The first one, you sat all the way through it.
Did I?
Yeah. You said it just didn't do much for you, which, you know, that's fine. I'm not saying you're wrong about it. It's just I was confused at that reaction because I haven't ever had it before.
It's weird because I really, really like the first Refreshments album, but, like, nothing else has even approached it. I don't know why.
I think that's true, that nothing else sounds like that he's done. I just have stayed with him through all the different sounds and enjoyed it.
It's like Weezer, you know? Like, I know that... Yeah. I know that I lose some hipster cred because, like, Pinkerton isn't my favorite album.
I liked Pinkerton, but I missed the... Like, they haven't done an album like the Blue Album where you just have the acoustic guitar picking into it and then just some slamming chords and singing about Buddy Holly, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I spent the whole day hungover. I do this thing where I don't go out on, like, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, like, at all. Like, I don't do anything because every place is so crowded on those nights. And what I need to do, I guess, is, like, go over to Brooklyn, because then I feel like there would be a bunch of bars that I could just walk into and actually sit down and have a drink. But the last thing I need is more reasons to go out drinking. So I end up going out on Sunday night when everything is not crowded, and I end up just like, man, it's great to be out and drinking. I'm just going to keep doing it all night and go from place to place to place and hang out with random strangers, and then I wake up the next morning and I'm like, fuck. And then since they turn the goddamn water off here every Monday, I wake up every morning thinking, wow, what I'd really like to do is, like, wash my face and maybe take a shower. Double fuck!
So you talked about that on Thursday show, I know, but I didn't hear the whole, like, why did they turn the water off on Monday?
They're, like, remodeling all the bathrooms in the building, and it's every Monday for 4 hours they have the water turned off. Sometimes it takes longer than that. Anyway, it's from 10 to 2, so it's like prime hangover waking up real estate.
Yeah.
Somebody suggested last time, and, if you really care about me giving credit to the right person, I don't remember who it was, but you can listen to the last few podcasts. Somebody suggested on Sunday night filling the bathtub up with water and using a bucket to flush the toilet.
Right.
And I was like, I don't have a bucket. But then I realized there's all these little trash cans here. So I totally filled up the bathtub, totally used the trash can to flush the toilet.
Nice.
I know. That was a good idea, whoever sent that in. Yeah, I got a tremendous amount of work done on Friday and Saturday and Sunday, though, on some things that I can't talk about, and on the June item of the month.
Excellent. I think I'm this week is looking good for pounding out my third of that.
That's cool. Riff looks like he's pretty far along into his. Mine just needs writing and artwork at this point, which really is everything. But all the coding is done.
Yeah, I mean, coding.
Which was the hard part. But I'm excited about the item of the month.
Yeah, it's always good that we come up with... I always think that there's no way we can come up with a new way to do what we tend to do. And we always find a way.
Yeah. Damn, that's loud typing.
Huh. See, this time I put you between the keyboard and the microphone, though, so... Yes, we've already got the novelty multi-rod handsome huge dick.
Sweet. Let's see. So, on the Thursday show, we got through the questions up to the point where they were questions that were coming in during the last Monday show, I think.
Okay.
So we should be good. We can do this, then we can skip to, you know, yesterday or today or whatever, if we want. Gorblax asked if I've ever encountered any KOL slash fiction, and yes, I have. And like a train wreck, I could not stop reading it.
There was that whole contest that... I guess a lot of people were annoyed that we condoned and that we actually allowed them to post about it in the forums and everything.
I was going to say, I don't remember condoning it.
Like, as soon as somebody announced it, the thread got locked, and I unlocked the thread and said, actually, let's just see where this takes us. Yeah. Everybody knows, you know, as long as they're not posting excerpts in the thread, that's
Yeah.
I like the first KOL slash fiction, which was just Boozer Bear tenderly placed his fez atop iSpeculum's recording equipment, because that leaves everything up to the imagination.
Let's see. The Dano says, how many times does an item you implement get used in a way that you never thought? It's hard to say. It happens, but not that great of a percentage of the time, I guess. Beyond Birthday asks our opinion on 4chan.
Fuck 'em.
I'm just always kind of confused by 4chan. Like, it seems weird that, like, I don't know, it's just, like, started by some, like, 13-year-old kid or something, and then, like, every time I go there, it's just, like, a bunch of confusingly laid out pictures of, like, porn and shit and people vomiting and more porn.
I mean, I understand that it serves a useful purpose in generating memes for the rest of the internet to consume, but, I don't know, being inside of the... I don't know, like, if 4chan is anything like reading the Encyclopedia Dramatica, and I'm sure that it's, like, concentrated that, then I want absolutely nothing to do with it.
I don't really understand what the Encyclopedia Dramatica is. Like, what's it for?
It's just a wiki that's mostly made and maintained by 4chan folks, so it kind of... It has stuff about the real world, but written in that style. So, you know, the World War II was when Hitler decided he was going to steal some buckets, and there was epic fail, and there was epic win, and some were in it just for the lulls. And yeah. But then it also just has a comprehensive study of all of the memes that have been generated in 4chan.
I see.
It's just an extremely annoying style of writing.
Well, Istanbul says, about that whole Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra thing from Star Trek The Next Generation, did it ever bother you that, anecdotal language or not, the anecdotes themselves just happened to be in English?
They weren't. That was the deal.
Wait, was this thing you were talking about before I came on the show on Monday?
No, I think he just got that out of nowhere.
Huh.
But they talked about in the, like, nobody except the humans really speak English on Star Trek Next Generation. They have a universal translator, and everybody mouths English, too, because, come on, you got to give them something, right? So they were talking about how the translator translates the people's language into English, but it still doesn't make any sense, because what does Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra mean? So.
It's not like a person's name and another person's name at the name of a place.
It is, but they would... Haven't you seen that episode?
No.
Oh, sorry, well, they, that's kind of all they say, like, there's an epic story in their mythology of Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra where they suffered a horrendous defeat. So now when anybody's feeling sad, they don't say, I'm sad. They say, Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra. So their entire language is just built out of pop culture references for, or, you know, references to their mythology.
I see. And this is some other race?
Yeah. That only existed for that episode.
I see.
And nobody could understand them because they thought it was just all gibberish until they started going into their history, like, oh, okay, so when this guy was at this place, he was overjoyed, and when he was at this place, he was overcome with rage, so okay, I don't know.
Gotcha. Nightmare says, have you read any good books lately? Have you read any good books lately, Mr. Stillhead?
The last book that I read was Nation by Terry Pratchett, and it was really, really good.
I'm still slowly working my way through Moby Dick. Still pretty good.
You should just follow that Twitter account that twatted all of it.
To, like, go back in time to, like, a year ago and follow it?
We'll just start at the bottom of their history, because then you get it like 140 characters at a time.
And backwards.
Okay.
Yeah. Nothing I like better than reading bottom to top. I have found myself, and I don't know what the fuck this is all about, whenever I'm reading something on a screen now, I catch myself reading the paragraphs from bottom to top, and I don't know why that is. Like, I don't know what it is I do that I read like that has gotten me into the habit of reading text on a screen like that, but it's messed up.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's like reading the sentences in the paragraph from the bottom up?
No, reading it, like reading the bottom paragraph and then reading the penultimate paragraph and then reading the anti-penultimate paragraph.
Yeesh.
Yeah. Chemist Drone says, can you please make some sort of market or something for buying buffs? Trying to get the Hobopolis buffs in trade is a massive headache and rarely works out. Yeah, you know, the Hobopolis buffs are one thing that actually does make me want to try and consider ways of, like, selling buffs in the mall. The idea that you could, like, cast buffs into a box that your shopkeeper then sells.
I liked that idea. I mean, it could be that simple, or it could just be, like, bottles of X and bottles of Y. I don't know where you'd get the boxes or bottles. Like, would you have to buy them from somebody, from an NPC, maybe?
I don't know. I mean, it's just that every time that comes up, there's just... there are just all these decisions that have to be made about that and how it works, right? Like, you know, it's trivial. We could code up potions just entirely in the Spindler now. It's not like it's that big of a deal, but, like, you know, all the buffs have, like, variable durations depending on what equipment you have when you're casting them. And so, you know, do we just do 5 turns? I mean, is it just, like, a minimum of all of them? And, like, if so, then it becomes a lot more, you know, a lot less efficient to buy them. Maybe that's okay, but, like, is there any sense in us doing this if people are basically going to be like, no, I refuse to use this because of the waste?
Mm-hmm.
You know, having something where you can actually buy it by the turn, like, on tap, eliminates that, but it's also, I don't know, it's narratively weird, and it, yeah. You know, because certainly what I don't want to end up with is having to create the 5 and the 10 and the 15 and, you know, maybe in the future the 20 or the 25 turn dose of every item.
Right.
You know, a really, really scratched record of Aloysius' Antiphon of Aptitude. A really scratched record of Aloysius' Antiphon of Aptitude.
Right.
But, you know, but if we let people put turns in the mall and we don't limit that in some way, just everybody's store is going to have hundreds of millions of turns of every buff, and then it's like, yeah, I don't know, man, putting some kind of limit on the buffs that you could cast in the very beginning would have been a really smart move, but I don't think that there was any way of anticipating it. I kind of wish that, like, 6 months in, when I was saying, ah, you know, it's too late to change this without pissing everybody off, I had just done all of the things that I wanted to do, because nobody is left, really, from that time that would still be pissed off about that.
Right.
And so, you know, it was just like, damn it. Hindsight is always 50-50, whether it makes any sense or not.
I do wonder, though, if even if it wasn't super efficient to a use of MP to put your buffs in bottles, if you're trading the MP for meat, that might be decent. And if you're somebody who doesn't want to cast all your own buffs, but you have a lot of meat, I don't know. I feel like my gut feeling is there would be a market for that, or just another way to kind of maul everything.
I mean, I don't think, though, that, like, just because of the buff bots, because the buff bots basically give everybody infinite turns of whatever standard class buffs they want for free. I think the ability to put turns of, like, you know, elemental sauce sphere in the mall is really kind of useless.
Right.
Because, you know, unless, there's just no way. I mean, we'd have to do away with the minimum mall price for it to ever make any sense to buy the buff in the mall instead of just buying it from a buff bot, right? Because it's basically free.
Right.
You know, and maybe it makes sense to only do that with limited cast buffs. Right now, the only limited cast buffs that exist are the ones in Hobopolis. You know, and...
Or maybe the ability to do that with the more expensive buffs. I don't know, I'm sure that there are people who are casting all the 40 MP buffs for free too, so, yeah.
I mean, the buff bus just gets so much MP for free, so much MP for so little meat out of, like, MMJ or whatever. Like, my worry is that whatever we did would basically just be creating a bunch of useless clutter in the mall. Figuring out a way to narratively limit it to only the buffs that it actually makes sense that there could be a market for would be interesting.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, if those buffs were... If the Hobopolis buffs were, like, distinguished somehow and could be, like... I don't know. We put a drop in Hobopolis that's, like, a hobo gramophone. Some sort of hobo wax cylinder. I don't know, man.
I mean, if we give the hobo buffs a quality that's... I mean, they already have a quality that differentiates them in that they're limited casts. It could just be your magically animated gramophone is kind of a snob.
Yeah.
It's like, that, I'm sorry, but that buff is too common for me to record onto a wax cylinder.
Yep. Because that way it would make sense. I mean, you know, we could mark it as, like, an exotic song or something. You know, a fancy song.
Narrative's easy. It just remains to be seen. That might be something that's worth throwing to the forums. Or at least throwing to the dev team to ask them how they think we should go about that.
Man Egg is either trying to get us to join his clan or trying to get us to give his clan a shout-out, and neither of them their things is going to happen.
But you mentioned him by name.
Well... Okay, sorry. Joy asks if we've thought about putting lime foo or flu, because limes fly. Limes fly? Anyway, he's talking about a disease that makes you type in green.
Huh.
Oh, man. We should totally, we should put in a disease that when you get it, everything that you type goes out as a system message.
Yeah. No.
Oh, come on. Yeah, I guess limes fly when you're having fun.
It is kind of funny to think, though, that, like, swine flu is no longer topical. Like, talking about, oh my god, Hamthrax, the apocalypse, that's kind of old news now. Like, haha, remember that time when everybody was all freaked out about swine flu? And it was, like, you know, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But that, as I suspected, that went from... it's going to kill us all to what, swine flu? Really, really quickly.
Yeah, I mean, you know. And now there are people saying, oh, but it's not a big... The thing is, it gets out everywhere. It doesn't kill a lot of people. The problem is when it gets warm again or when it gets cold again and it comes back around for a second wave. That's when it's going to kill everybody. No. And it turns out December of 2012 is when it's going to kill everybody. Like,
well, because of the Mayan calendar.
Culture of fear, you know? Like, the news, it's that whole Bowling for Columbine thing, you know?
I was just about to say that. Oh, like in Bowling for Columbine. My favorite was the story last week that was linked on FARC was, well, swine flu seems to have blown over. What will be the next pandemic that might kill us all? Tune in. Like, Jesus. So you don't even have one on deck. You can't even say... some kid is coughing in Madagascar. Will it kill you tomorrow? It's just like, we don't know what might be coming, but it's coming.
Oh, man, if it starts in Madagascar, we're fucked.
Because the human race started in Madagascar, and look how far we've gone?
No, that's... did you ever play that Pandemic game?
No.
It was just kind of... So it was a game where you play a disease, basically. And you're sort of evolving... transmission vectors, and you're evolving symptoms, and the goal is sort of to, like, get spread out a lot before you start killing people.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to win the game is to wipe out the human race. But the more they start noticing you, the more they'll, like, you know, institute, like, water boiling programs that stop you from being water transmitted or whatever, or they'll close airports in and out of countries, and basically... so many games end with fucking Madagascar isolating itself with zero infections. So the way to have a chance of winning that game Is it like you'd see every once in a while when people, like video gamers, talking about the swine flu stuff? That's it. I'm moving to Madagascar. Like the only way that you could win reliably, even if you played really well, would be to just keep restarting the game until it starts with the disease in Madagascar. Because then you can definitely get out and get everywhere else. Whereas, it is an interesting game. I don't know that I would call it like super fun. I finally got the big crazy gold trophy for getting every other trophy in Plants vs. Zombies, so now I can have my fucking life back. It's a fun game. Did you ever pick it up? Did you play it at all?
I may have to try that next. So far I've played the opening scene of Half-Life, and I'm not sure I'm going to pick it back up.
Really?
Yeah, it's just like, oh, okay. It's a first-person shooter. And I'm walking around, talking to people. Eventually I'm going to get a gun, shoot some aliens. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I guess, like, Portal is kind of the ideal game, in my opinion, for that genre. So I had a huge fun time playing that. Couldn't wait to pick it up every day. And Half-Life just makes me feel like I'm going to have to go to this other job. Because I paid for it, so I really ought to play it, but I kind of don't want to.
I mean,
we'll see. I'm still going to try Fallout 3, though.
Yeah, Fallout 3, it really got its hooks in me from the very beginning, and I really like the sort of like post-apocalyptic setting for a game. You know, and I can see somebody complaining that Fallout 3 was sort of visually boring because every place kind of looks like every other place. I really like, you know, running around buildings, scavenging stuff out of crates and stuff, you know, like, it's just, I don't know. I just like it. Stupak 2 says, what do you think about tradable dictionaries? It would really help make runs more pleasant for newbies and vets alike. I got some ideas for some either limited but not quite as limited as dictionary or farmable but not really farmable dictionary equivalents. Because that is a complaint that I can definitely understand where it's coming from. You know, the idea that basically to do a competitive softcore run, you just have to do a whole bunch of lead-ins to collect dictionaries.
Right.
Because there's nothing good like that anymore. I think that, you know, like, basically I had this idea and, you know, I'm probably, I don't know, man. Every time I talk about something ahead of time, people react to it in a way that makes me end up not feeling like doing it. But here's an idea that I had that I just sort of forgot to do. Like, with the turtle stuff, I was kind of imagining this thing where you had a very low chance when you were taming a turtle of getting, like, this crazy bejeweled turtle that didn't really do anything but was auto-sellable for the same price as a dictionary and was tradable, right? And, you know, either, like, do something where we throttle the number of them that can be found or just make, you know, look at some statistics on how many turtles are being tamed in a day, assume that two or three times as many will be tamed once we put something in that's highly desirable, and set up the probability of it happening such that it introduces the number that we have. But, you know, every time we actually leave something to chance, it ends up biting us in the ass down the road. So, I don't know. And then, you know, I was thinking about maybe, like, yeah, we could do the similar kind of thing with, like, the seal clubbing stuff, right? Because, like, just some interesting way of introducing stuff like that that isn't just a regular item drop, like something that is actually, like, kind of already limited for obvious reasons. Captain Spam asks why the stuff mink is an accessory and not an offhand like the other stuff. I imagine you wearing it like a mink stole.
Yeah, I kind of figured that, too.
I had a mink stole, but a mink stole it.
Oh, that's kind of... That was unanticipated.
Linguini Lad says, is there an actual pattern or mechanic to the pool game? Because try as I might, I can never win. Yeah, there is. There's all kinds of pattern and mechanic.
There are several ways to make yourself better at playing pool.
Yeah. Although one of them is to not be Linguini Lad, so you might be fucked, dude. Sorry.
Yeah, that was a really strange design choice, but I figured this was your forte more than mine, the actual design of the game, so I didn't want to say anything about it.
Yeah. Let's see. Glebe says, could you please make Habanero / Jalapeno Saucer do something with Pastamancer spells? It'd be nice if non-saucers got a little use from them. Wouldn't even have to do much. Just making it so your Pastamancer spells never do one damage or are more likely to do perfect elemental damage would be nice. Well, I don't know. You know, they do something for non-saucers, right? They're a little damage shield. Unless they're not anymore. I don't even remember.
Hey, you've got to be the one who knows these things.
Mistress of the Obvious says, hi guys, I'm curious. Yellow? What does it mean when you go to create a character and it says that the name is already in use, yet when you / who is them, they don't exist? That probably means that their names are blacklisted from being disabled previously, or sometimes, because we just give the same message. It's not like, that name has already been used by somebody and we don't want it used again. Or if they're, you know, if it contains a string that's not allowed in names.
Did we ever do the thing where when you type a name in, you can verify if it's available?
No. That's not a bad idea, though.
Is that something I really appreciate on sites? Like, some will auto-check it as you type it.
Yeah, but that's actually, I'm sure CD Moyer could whip that up pretty quickly.
Anything where you have, like, an entire form underneath picking the name, it's handy to not fill out the entire form.
Yeah.
First.
Yeah. Having a thing that just said, like, as you typed it in, and just whenever the value of the text field changed, and then half a second passed or whatever, that it would just auto-update a little thing that said the name, whatever, is already in use. Cal010 says, why can't you eat the steel lasagna if you're already full? Why can't you eat anything if you're already full? Why can't you pour more water into a bucket that's already full of buckets?
Why can't you pour more bucket into a water full of buckets?
Right. Why can't you dump a bucket into a well that's already filled to the top with buckets of water?
Where did Jack and Jill figure into this?
I don't know. Wouldn't it be weird if we lived in a world where you had to dig down really deep to get buckets, and then you would use water to retrieve the buckets from deep in the ground?
I think that you've just come up with a new syndicated sci-fi series.
Yeah. Has there been anything good on the Sci-Fi Channel lately?
I don't know. Every time I look at the Sci-Fi Channel to see if there's something on worth watching, it's either one of their crappy original movies, or an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation, or Ghost Hunters.
Huh.
Or fucking wrestling.
Wrestling?
Yeah, the ECW wrestling is on Sci-Fi.
What's ECW?
Extreme something or other.
Huh.
But, yeah, it's and it reruns of wrestling on Sci-Fi.
That isn't science fiction-y at all, unless it's, like, laser wrestling.
See, if the stupid soap opera behind, you know, the behind-the-stage crap that goes on wrestling was sci-fi, then maybe I would tune in.
Yeah, like if there were, like,
like Hulk Hogan has just gone through a time portal and brought back a caveman to beat the shit out of this robot. Like, hey.
Yeah, why not, man? That'd be awesome. Like, or if, you know, like, this wrestler's theme is that he's, like, a replicant. You know? They could actually just get Dolph Lundgren. And who's the one that was in?
Daryl Hannah.
Was it Daryl Hannah? Okay. I almost said that when I wasn't sure. Yeah. Is she no?
Wait, what?
Hmm?
Oh, you dropped out for a second there.
Oh, sorry. She can crush dudes' heads with her thighs.
Yeah. Oh, Mott says that ECW was like that on Sci-Fi at first, and then it was really dumb. That's a shame.
Wait, really?
I'd never heard of that.
Because why didn't you have any laser guns? I mean, that's the thing. Like, if it's supposed to be sci-fi, if this wrestler's actually a robot, like, where's his whirling saw blade arm, you know? That's the one thing, like, I don't believe that anything is a robot unless it has a whirling saw blade arm.
That's
like, you go to an auto factory, like, there like, might be a couple of robots in there, but most of the things that they say are robots, I just don't believe in.
So you were really disappointed in the Roomba, huh?
Yeah. Although, I should get Riff interested in modding the Roomba.
He could make a... Well, wait, do you mean making sure that the Roomba's behavior conforms to community standards, or like the dude who turned his Roomba into Pac-Man?
Yeah, I was thinking about the dude who turned his Roomba into Pac-Man. It didn't look that good. Like, I'm, you know, I appreciate the effort.
I was impressed that the power down had the little dying Pac-Man animation. That was a nice touch.
Okay. I didn't watch the video that far. Gwilblack says, there isn't enough fourth grade humor in this game. I suggest a new zone, the Orcish Fart House.
You know, we left a giant void when we took out the original Haiku Dungeon. And it was a void entirely full of fart jokes.
Yeah. Dr. Kier says, really liking this item of the month, really hearty. Good, good, good.
I've asked ye item of the month, dear hearty.
Gorblack says, when you eat a blue cupcake, nothing should happen when you play the drum machine. You're walking without rhythm, so you won't attract the worm. That or playing the drum machine should remove cupcake of choice.
Huh.
Wait, and then ACM says, holy crap, Scully, Darmok and Gelada, Tanagra. Now I'm going to have that in my head. His eyes red with anger.
Yeah, I read that and realized that I played the Picard song on last week's show because I was still kind of buzzing on Star Trek.
I see.
And part of that has the Darmok and Gelada Tanagra thing. You should seek out that episode because it is really cool to see, like, a race that takes the way we talk, quoting movies and stuff, to its logical extreme or illogical extreme.
Mm. Well, I have it on DVD at home.
Oh, yeah, you have the whole box.
Yeah. Frontalot made, like, the nerdiest joke, I think, that has ever been made. When I told him that I had gotten that, and I told the same story that I always told. I always said I would buy it if it was less than $200, and then it was $192, and he was like, yeah. So now the next DVD box set you buy will have to be $168, and then the one after that will be $1, and the one after that will be $1, and then you'll never be allowed to buy another one again. Which, you know.
Woof.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
Because 192.168.1.1 is like the first of a private network. It took me a while to get it when he said it, too. And then we just started talking about, like, how hard it would be to find DVD box sets for a dollar. anyway, who would have expected a guy like MC Frontalot to make super nerdy jokes?
Not this guy. Not this guy right here.
Yeah. RDFM says, flare guns should pulverize into 37 pieces. Just saying. I get it. 37 pieces of flair.
Right.
Gorblack says, have you ever considered making a pen and paper game based on KOL?
That seems like something that would be easy enough for somebody to do if they really wanted to do it to play at home that we don't need to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about pen and paper games in general. I know people are into them. It seems like the ones that are, you know, like D&D basically has turned into a video game without the computer crunching all the numbers for you. And, I don't know. Then there's, like, the games for storytelling fags.
Mm-hmm. I find, I don't know, I find that whole video game but without a computer crunching the numbers kind of fascinating. We have a friend who has an old hex-based Lord of the Rings game And it's almost impossible to play because it has this huge book for character movement and everything's super complicated and there's all these special rules for special cases. But it is pretty much programming your group of people playing the game into being a computer that runs this kind of decently realistic playable simulation of Lord of the Rings. So that's kind of interesting, but at the same time, I would be more likely to play it if it was a computer doing that instead of me being programmed to do it.
Exactly. I never made it through a game of Axis and Allies until I found a version of it that, like, you know, some discount software company produced for, like, $10 at Hastings, and then I played several games of it against the computer.
I'd like to see somebody do that with Arkham Horror.
I would, too, man. Like, I...
Just not, like, turn it into a completely interactive game, but more just a video game-ized board game. Like they've done with Settlers of Catan and whatnot. Just put all those fucking decks of cards.
Yeah. To, you know what? I would pay $5 for, like, an iPhone app that was just all the decks of cards. Except then what do you do with the, you know, the ones that you have to actually... have a card that represents you having an item, you know? Mm. It's not that big of a deal. You know, like, the Betrayal, dealing with all the pieces, there are a ton of pieces in Betrayal, but dealing with them all is not... It doesn't feel like a hassle the way Arkham Horror does. And there are probably more pieces in Betrayal than there are in Arkham Horror. It's just that you don't need nearly all of them every game. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I honestly would probably enjoy Arkham Horror more as a computer game.
Yeah, I would enjoy it just because that would mean we could, like, fire up the laptop and find a couple of people to play it online and play it more frequently. I kind of feel like when, like, Jess and I play it with people, we are the computer. We keep track of all the items and tell everybody how many dice to roll. And
you keep introducing yourselves as Locutus.
Yeah. Well, the first time that we played the game, we had somebody doing that for us, and I can't imagine trying to play it without that.
Yeah. Let's see. Severus says, still no hit messages for Chester's bag of candy? That makes me sad. Can we at least throw candy at them? Offer them poison candy? Something? Oh, yeah, man. His bag of candy just have, like, apples with razor blades in them. Because that happens all the time.
It did.
What are you doing to protect you? What are you doing to protect Oliver from the threat of apples with razor blades inside them?
Well, every time he looks at an apple... I'm smacking him across the face.
Sweet.
Yeah. Because you just can't be too careful.
A smack in the face every time you see an apple a day keeps the razor blade away.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure Child Protective Services will understand.
Yeah. Maguma says, glad you visited Video Games New York, Jake. If it's the same Virtual Boy, I remember it doesn't work anyway. One lens always goes out. Man, I missed that job. Madison 14 asks, Sid Hoffman or Sid Frenchman? NC Sorcerer says, interested in Fable? The most recent DLC is spectacular! You know, I played a not insignificant amount of Fable 2. I want to like it, but I'm not sure that I do. I'm not sure that I will ever pick it up and play it again. Although, if I... They have this kind of a powerful draw, right? If I were to go turn it on, I would suddenly get several months worth of, like, rent income from the little shop stalls that I've bought and stuff. So, like, you know, just by firing it up, I would suddenly have a lot more options.
Meh.
Cosmo Cornelius says, in reference to the last show's convo about Buffs' items, according to Thief, Buffs could be put on mixtapes that could be listened to at a later date. We could bring back the concept of the mixtape. Nobody would know what we were talking about.
We could allow you to set up your mall store could either be one that sold items or one that sold buffs. People would like that kind of limitation.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no. Totally.
Because choices are interesting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gorblack says, first of all, he says, I use Google Chrome, and then he reports some fucked up bugs. Stop using Google Chrome is the solution to that bug.
Mama, don't take my Google Chrome away.
And he says, for canonicity's sake, who is the actual winner of the level 12 war? I don't know. That's an interesting question, right? Is there a story? Is there a canon like that? I mean, there only is if we were to put something in at a later date that needed to talk about it, right? Like,
right.
That's the thing, that time in KOL is such a malleable concept.
Well, it's kind of an eternal now, so it's not like the Cola Wars, which happened in the past. Because every time you ascend, you kind of end up in the same time frame.
Right.
So, that battle...
But I mean, narratively, we do say that, Sorceress is back and re-imprisoned King Ralph.
Yeah, but who knows how many times that's happened.
Keeps happening over and over again, yeah. Takenoko says, hey Jake, if you like Soul Blazer, you might enjoy the pseudo-sequels Illusion of Gaia and Terranigma. One of those I keep trying to play, and I get like 45 minutes into it, and I reach a point that's like super hard that I can't get past. I don't remember which one's which. Quintet also made some other interesting games like ActRaiser. ActRaiser is one of my favorite Super Nintendo games. I still will bust that out and play through it every couple of years. It was seriously, like, awesome. It was one of the only Super Nintendo games that I actually, like... I think I rented it and I beat it over the course of the rental, which hardly ever happened. iClub you says, hey, guys, looks like this is up Rift's alley. And what is it? Is it some kind of Rubik's Cube?
It's a puzzle that... If you open it, it gives you a clue to some bigger puzzle that ends with a real-life prize.
I see. There was a series of those that my wife got me the first few of, and we just could not solve the second one. Like, and it's just, it's like, it's like a puzzle, right? It's like a little wooden puzzle, and me and Hot Stuff and Riff spent a bunch of time messing with it and just couldn't make it work. I don't know, fuck.
Yeah, I knew that. I knew that that would be something that I would play with for 5 minutes and get frustrated, so I knew.
The first one in the series was this kind of interesting puzzle box that was actually sort of cool. Like, it, you had to do a certain thing with it, and then it, like, it had a little scroll inside it. And then there were some other things that you... There was, like, a second stage where you could take it apart further, and then one of the pieces had something else written on it that was supposed to be a clue for the second puzzle.
Right.
But, like, I can't find anything about it on the internet. And it's, like, I don't think they ever actually finished the series of them, so I don't know what the fuck. Like, they're cool, but frustrating. Jeff says it would be nice if there was something non-ascending non-seal clubbers could do with the seal figurine, maybe trade them in rather than smack them. But a non-ascending non-seal clubber can't get the seal figurines, right?
Right.
I mean, I guess you could buy the ones that are for sale, the Brotherhood, but I don't know. I'm curious about that. I had considered making it so the Turtle Tamer only stuff only showed up in the store if you were a turtle tamer, and likewise for seal clubbers. But then I also kind of feel like there's some value to having it in there as like a teaser.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what the right answer for that is.
Simeon says, any reason why Krimborg outfit.gif went unused? Because honestly, the female version is far too cool not to be used. I think that was the thing... Where you drew the outfit, and I said, no, the Krimborg outfit turns you into Master Chief. And you said, really? And I said, yeah. And you said, why? And I said, because it's funny, I guess. So, you redrew the outfit. And apparently the old outfit still is on the image server.
Yeah, I don't remember. I have to look at what the female version looks like. Oh. Okay.
It's funny.
That is pretty funny. Well, you know, maybe that'll get reused for something. Um, Ziltang says, what plans do you have for introducing a skill that lets you wield a melee and ranged weapon at the same time? You know, it is possible. I think at some point that I came up with a way that we could make that work. Where I would actually roll to hit twice if you were dual wielding. So that way I could use it. Because then you'd basically, like, you'd divide up all of the elemental damage into, like, main hand damage and offhand damage that was attached to weapons specifically, and then if you had, like, a hat that gave you hot damage, you'd get, like, half of it or two-thirds of it applied to your main hand and a third of it applied to your offhand or whatever. And that would work, and it would, you know, it would allow people to do things like, oh, I got a sword in one hand and a gun in the other, because that seems cool, right?
Right, yeah.
I'd like having a sword in one hand and a gun in the other, although...
I think it's cooler if the gun and the sword are the same weapon.
I'd want to be ambidextrous if I was doing that, because I don't really trust myself with a gun in my left hand and a sword in my left hand. It just wouldn't feel cool.
Right.
But I don't know. I guess if I'm imagining myself as some kind of badass that would be walking around and have occasion to be walking around with a sword and a gun, I could also imagine myself as somebody who was ambidextrous.
I'd rather be ambisinistrous.
Oh, yeah?
I think that it's insensitive that anti-left-handed bias is built into our language.
Yeah. Do you?
Yeah. And I think that anybody who says the word ambidextrous needs to be taught a lesson about how much of an insensitive prick they are and how they really need to open their mind and embrace the diversity that is human culture. And, yeah, I'm bad at this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where the skill to spew out whole paragraphs of that kind of indignant rage comes from, but somehow I don't
Yeah,
have
you
it.
Know, I mean, I think if you, yeah, I think only people who are that kind of person can really pull it off.
Yeah. Hard to fake that shit. Sorry, where were you going with stuff?
Where was I what?
Where were you going with the question?
Oh, I wasn't going anywhere, man. Do you want to take our Breco de Musica?
Yeah, I think we should. We'll, let's see, 3, 4, 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, about 15 minutes.
All right, and I'm, I don't have to mute my mic for this?
Right.
Okay.
I would do it again when the last day has come. We shall see visions more vivid than sunsets, brighter than stars. We will recognize each other and see ourselves for the first time the way we really are. they saw that the explosives in the cargo hold were just about to blow. This song is for the soil. It's toxic clear down to the bedrock, where no thing of consequence can grow. Drop your seeds there, let them go.
All our dark dreams from deep in the pond.
Quebec.
And how?
Well, I turned the mic back on and it just happened.
Sweet. Man, you know what I'm looking forward to? It's not that I'm not enjoying doing the show with you, or doing the show in general, but I'm looking forward to when the show is over and I can eat my leftover Indian food. Because I'm hungry and it's good.
Yep, I just had me some strawberry shortcake over the break there.
Was it a warm delight?
It was quality. No, yeah, we got some angel food cake and some strawberries and some whipped cream and combined them all into a perfect storm of deliciousness.
Holy crap, homemade strawberry shortcake?
Yeah. This is what happens when you get all domestic and shit.
Yeah. You should give your kid a homemade strawberry shortcake doll for Christmas.
Yep.
Make him angry and gay.
Right. I kind of figure he'll end up gay. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a recessive gay gene, pretty much. And Jess has a recessive gay gene. She's pretty much a lesbian, except she likes me, and I'm pretty much a gay guy, except I like girls.
It's weird. The whole time I was in Japan, they kept calling me a recessive gay gene. I didn't get the recessive part.
Well, it's probably because you look Asian, but you don't act Asian.
Right. Watertail says, hey guys, thanks for the Turtle Tamer update. That has nothing to do with the fact that I'm doing my first hardcore Turtle Tamer run or my 2+ million meet today. I don't know what the 2+ million meet is all about. Iluro Dragon says, why does /who show a player is in a chat channel even if they haven't opened the chat? In this case, the player logged on and didn't enter chat. They'd been in chat the previous time and they were in the game. Yeah, the way the who stuff works is weird. Because I think it might be ignoring the in-chat bit, which it really shouldn't be. I don't remember. Bobula says, random thought of the day. The drink text of the Body Slam mentions you went to Adventurer College. That must be next to the library and the post office, huh? No, it's out of state.
I also thought the post office was the council. Unless, when they give you the strange leaflet, is it just because it came in the mail to the council for you?
I don't know. It was care of Council of Loathing.
Yeah. The tutorial has your letter from King Ralph, so I'm thinking the Postal Service is not as it's not as thoroughly well thought out as it is.
Their postal routes are more of like a drunkard's walk.
Yeah. Their death cab for Cutie is pretty good, though.
The what?
Their death cab for Cutie is pretty good, but the Postal Service not so much.
Yeah. I have not really heard any Death Cab for Cutie. I like everything I've heard from the Postal Service, though.
I really enjoy Death Cab for Cutie. I don't know if you'd like it at all. It seems like, having heard that guy sing, I would have warned you away from any band that he's the lead vocalist, because that seems like the style of singing you don't like.
Really?
Yeah.
You must have... The thing is, maybe the reason that we get into so many, like... The reason we disagree so much about this is because I'm not doing a good job of describing what it is that I don't like about that kind of singing, because it would never have occurred to me to put the Postal Service guy in that.
Well, no, like you, I played that Do You Hear What I Hear / Bob O'Reilly thing, and you said, yeah, I don't like that guy. And I said, what do you mean? He sounds like Ben Folds. And you said, yeah, I don't like Ben Folds either. He does that singing thing that I don't like. And I would have said the Death Cab guy sounds exactly... like, well, or, you know, has the same vocal mannerisms as Ben Folds does.
I don't know, maybe it's just because his voice is kind of annoying.
See, but if you thought that, I would think you would think that the other dude's voice was annoying. I don't understand you.
Yeah, I don't either, man. Sorry,
gets you near the wind.
Maybe you'd understand me more if you weren't constantly ripping huge bong loads.
That's true. I should stop that.
Arcane says, you should learn how to play Tiptoe Through the Tulips on your ukulele. I don't know that I've ever actually heard Tiptoe Through the Tulips.
It's kind of crazy.
Is it?
Yeah, the Tiny Tim... Like, hearing now that that guy was a big deal back in the day is just bizarre.
He has
this weird piping falsetto voice, and he just sings like if you were to kind of jokingly sing Tiptoe to the Tulips an octave higher than you would normally sing, that's what it sounds like. Yeah, I have no idea. It's a baffling period in our history, collectively.
Gorblak says, why aren't there any Femlins in the junkyard? What, am I making this up, or in Gremlins 2, was there a girl gremlin?
There was a girl gremlin.
But wasn't it like a crossdresser or something? Or was it actually a girl gremlin?
It drank a potion that had a male sign and a female sign kind of combined on it.
Okay.
So either it made the gremlin crossdress or changed the gremlin's sex gender.
I see. Huh. It never fucked anybody or anything?
It ended up locked in a tower with John Glover, so presumably something happened there.
Who's John Glover? Is it Danny Glover's brother?
No, he was the villain in Gremlins 2. Or, you know, the CEO guy. He was also Lionel Luthor on Smallville.
Is that what Crispin Glover calls his bathroom?
The John Glover.
That would be funny if one of the things that Crispin Glover did was just name all of the objects in his house, like what they were, with his last name.
This is the toaster Glover.
I'm sorry. That's not as funny as my brain thinks it is right now. Gorblak says, shouldn't the meat you get from the dirty thieving brigands via meat vortex go to the nuns as well? I'm worried about trying to go down the road of that particular consistency.
That's kind of interesting, though.
Yeah, somebody else later was like, when your Hanakimbo dreidel lands on Gimel, it should...
No, he says that when it lands on Nun, they should steal meat from you, which is kind of funny.
Okay.
But I think that would be an interesting mechanic that maybe not when your familiar gives you meat, but definitely when you use a meat vortex, like having to dual functioning meat vortexes as part of the strategy is an interesting idea.
Yeah, I don't know if it would ever be worth pulling them, and I don't know where do meat vortexes come from? They come from the valley.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that actually, I think you're right. That is kind of interesting. Foggy says, some random thoughts based on the last show. For the clan dungeon, it might help to have a choice, scream for help, that either posts a message in the forum or makes a message appear in the Hobopolis chat channel. Chat channel, it doesn't seem like would be ideal because you would only ever have this problem if there was nobody else on. So if you could just say it in the chat channel, right?
Yeah.
The message is one thing, but... Huh. I feel like you'd want that message to go away. I don't know. There's got to be some solution. If we just made it, because it's not like we felt like the knowledge of who was in the cage was supposed to be some kind of mystery or some obstacle that you had to deal with. So I wonder if just, you know, maybe your clanmate such and such is currently trapped in the chum cage whenever you are on the sewer page or something wouldn't be the worst way to handle that.
So are there people who would, they'd rescue one clanny but not another one?
No, the problem is, okay, I mean, I guess it wouldn't necessarily need to say who it was, right? But, you know, the problem is somebody getting trapped, knowing that somebody's going to log on in the next hour or two or four or six or eight and would let them out and not wanting to waste the turns, but not having any way of letting people know I'm stuck in the cage, I'm logging off now.
Right.
Foggy says, I think these changes might help with the Naughty Sorceress battle for missed classes. Allow Postomancers to cast Entangling Noodles multiple times, but with decreasing chance of success. Like, first use is 100%, second 50, third 33, etc. This would make it so they have a better opportunity to avoid damage from the Naughty Sorceress, and by making that class restrictive, it would avoid other classes exploiting noodles. That's interesting. I'm curious as to how big of a deal that would be just in general as kind of a fundamental change to the way Postomancers work, and I'm interested in hearing other people's opinions on that. For sorcerers and sorcerers only, allow them to cast the HP restoring Sphere in combat, the shorter duration and the smaller MP cost. Then he says, that's interesting too, letting them cast their Spheres as combat skills. Love the new Turtle Tamer stuff, he says, but could you add bombed out versions of the grinning and syncopated turtle adventures? I honestly don't know whether to do that or not. Right? Like, I understand why people want it, and we have done it with some stuff in the past. But the fact that those familiars are tradable, you know, having them in an area that you can lock yourself out of, I really don't think is that problematic, because it would be like, I don't feel like anybody would be entitled to be like angry at us if we put a familiar in the Cola Wars battlefield.
Right.
Because if you want one, you either ascend or you can go get it in the mall, which is kind of the situation with the turtles from the hippie camp. I mean, I can definitely understand why people are asking for it, but I'm not sure that I really think that it needs to happen. And Foggy also says, I like the idea of new clan-related item of the month stuff, but I think it'd be a huge plus to make the clan invitation a regularly available Mr. Store item. The clan furniture could still be a regular item of the month, or it could be like the two Mr. A familiars, have it around for 6 months, and then get it replaced with another form of furniture. Yeah, I don't know. It is gonna be hard for me to make the decision next time we come up with a piece of clan furniture to put in Mr. Store to put it in, knowing that we're basically just going to make almost no money that month.
Right.
That is gonna be hard. That is gonna be a hard decision for me to justify. Right. And what I'm worried is gonna happen is that's just gonna make it so we never do that again, and then I'll feel like we have lied when we said we were gonna do it. Yikes.
You know, nobody would have noticed that if you hadn't said yikes.
I know. Me saying yikes was a lot worse.
There we go.
Than what it was.
I keep forgetting to avail myself of this feature of Vista, that you can change the volume on specific applications.
Oh, really?
Yeah, rather than just changing the system volume, if you open the mixer, it gives you a list of all the applications you have open. So I can actually mute the Firefox, and now I'm immune to that happening.
Or you could just mute me so that I don't interfere with whatever you're surfing with my stupid talking about the game. It is really off topic, but have you seen the new Sharpie fine tips? They've become my writing tool of choice. Got a great feel on the paper, leave a nice stroke, and they're Sharpies! I don't know, I guess the pens that I use aren't any more permanent than Sharpies. Mm-hmm. Or less permanent than Sharpies. I don't know, man. I like my pens. I got pen loyalty.
Yeah, it's weird. Once you find a pen, you tend to stick with it. Once I find a pen, I tend to stick with it.
Quietus says, while listening to old radio shows, there was a bit where you claimed there would be a change to Spooky Grove fertilizer with content in Spooky Raven Manor, i.e. the 8 new zones. However, 2.5 years later, the Spooky Grove fertilizer hasn't changed one iota. Did those changes get scrapped for some reason? And if so, why? Or were you just lying? No, I was lying. I do that all the time.
Yeah, soon you'll learn that grown-ups lie.
Yeah, that's just all, like, basically just every word out of my mouth is a dirty, dirty lie.
Really?
A deadhead says, a cock and balls RPG, please. We should release a user created content pen and paper role playing game, which is a notebook.
How about just a notebook that has a bunch of connect the dots of cock and balls?
Yeah. Vacon says, I was catching up on old radio shows last night and heard you discussing Cockney rhyming slang. Moments later, you rolled out the turtle male hauberk with a brilliant item description. Had I not moments earlier been introduced to the awesomeness that is the word burk, that joke would have been totally lost on me. Keep up the good work. You guys are hilarious. I was pretty happy with the description of the turtle male hauberk.
Yeah, that is highly entertaining.
I got some deep thoughts reference in there. And turns out that there is something called HAU. I feel like there is something called basically everything, though, and now that the internet exists, we're just able to find out about it very quickly.
I think we should have some sort of hauberk that you get from, I don't know, like where a river meets the ocean, and it could be like a Delta Burke. We could put all of that, our Delta Burke knowledge into play, finally.
That's true. She married Gerald McRaney.
She was on Designing Women.
Or is it Gerald Rainey? I can never remember if it's Rainey or McRaney.
That must make it really awkward for you when the weather turns sour.
Yeah, because I can never remember if McDonald's controls the weather or not. You know what I have not done is eaten at McDonald's since I've been in New York.
I found out that I can't eat at McDonald's anymore. There was a day that I drove Jess to work instead of her driving to work. I'm like, woohoo, I have the car. I can go out for lunch. I'm going to get me some McDonald's. And I ate it, and it just sat in my stomach as a brick and then came out the back end of me as a brick. And that's just, that's never going to happen again.
Oh, that sucks. It's like that time on Beavis and Butthead when Beavis was talking about how he drank a whole bottle of Kaopectate because it said it was for diarrhea. It didn't give him diarrhea like he was hoping. All right. No, he has been married to Delta Burke since 1989. He is still married to Delta Burke.
There's that song about touching down in the land of the Delta Burke in the middle of the pouring rain.
No. No.
There's not? Okay, sorry.
Let's see. He was apparently on an episode of Gunsmoke when he was 8 years old.
Are you looking at Gerald McRaney?
We follow our knowledge about Gerald McRaney. It is McRaney. I don't know why I can never remember that. Linguini Lad says, item of the month idea, a slapstick. It's funny.
Is it?
He also said, so your radio show has a live band now? On the show from 5:11, I keep hearing a drum roll in the background.
That's probably my hookah.
Hmm?
It's probably my hookah.
Oh, yeah. That totally makes sense.
I should get a little cymbal, and at the end of every draw on the hookah, I can just, you know, end my little drum roll.
Yeah. Shadia says, I graduate law school tomorrow. I started playing KOL a month before I started law school. Thanks for getting me through the 3 years of law school hell, guys. Hey, congratulations, Shadia.
Nice. Now we can go break the law, and we know that we have legal representation.
Ah, yeah, sweet.
I think it's weird to think that there are people who were like freshmen in high school when they started playing who are now in college.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting to me is the people who started out playing when they were like, you know, 14 years old and obnoxious and are now like
adults.
Yeah, like adults that are cool and doing stuff and no longer, you know, like the kind of people who would probably think that prank phone calls were really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Shadow Gook says, where do you see KOL in 5 years? Around the Golden Horn.
Yes.
In 10 years, back from the Golden Horn. Gleave says, so how comes that June super familiar? It's definitely getting there. It's going to be pretty super. Garjon says, any news on the 1,000 Monsters One Boss Dungeon? Also getting there. Gorblack says, how many people do you know of playing the game who are named Claude? I don't think I know of a single person named Claude.
I wonder if there's anybody playing the game who has changed their name to Claude so that they can save money on birthday cakes.
Oh. Let's see. Angry Villager says, hi, Chicken Company. If the Lothar who'd activated the El Vibrato Island content had had a terrible username, would the island stuff still be named after him? We had a contingency plan in case, like, Chunky Feces discovered the island.
Or Vaginal Blood Fart.
Vaginal Blood Fart, yeah. And the contingency plan was just going to be to make up a name for the island.
Oddly enough, the contingency plan name that we were going to make up was El Vibrato.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that was all about. Skilled says, do you guys have ideas in the works for a content familiar next month? Give us some credit.
We've had an idea in the works for... I don't know, you came up with that outline a while ago, it seems like.
Yeah, the basic one was a few months ago, I think.
The problem...
The initial... Yeah.
The problem with the content familiar and with Crimbo is I tend to think of coming up with the concept as, like, in my brain, I go, oh, we're done. It's like, Crimbo got it handled. It's going to be Mafia Penguins versus elves. It's going to be great. And they're like, yeah, it's done. Like, wait. None of it is done.
Yeah. Let's see. Foss says, about how many raffle tickets does the Penguin Mafia sell in a day, and why don't they take over the Arctic so that they can have a monopoly on Earth's poles? Then they can smoke them as much as they want. Monkey Buddha says, it must be because it's a... Oh, sorry. Hey, Jake and gang, just curious, but for some reason my Sugar Fruit Fairy does not appear on the leaderboard for kills today, even though it beats the top killer by more than 2x. Must be because it's a lover, not a killer. Love the show. Yeah, there's something fucked up with the way the familiar leaderboards work, where I think you have to have the familiar on for it to be counted, and I just haven't bothered to either fix it or to have CD Moir fix it. Let's see. Grublex says, a lot of people complain about the Star Trek movie being too heavy on pointing out why they didn't need to adhere to canon because if they tried to be subtler, people would still complain. Yes, J.J. Abrams is doing Dark Tower. Yeah, I don't know. You know, Riff talked about how he was bothered by that, like, sort of ham-fisted thing about explaining away why they were breaking from canon, but, like, I didn't even notice. Like, I remember the scene that he was talking about, but it was, like, in my memory, it is just, like, a half a sentence.
It is. I mean, it's no, because he came through and changed everything, think of the life that is going to be lived now, and I think that you kind of have to do that in any time travel movie. Like, in a situation like that, I think you do have to say what's going to happen to the time stream.
Yeah.
So, it served that dual purpose, and, you know, it wasn't horribly subtle, but it also wasn't, like, turn to the camera and wink. Guess what, everybody?
Right. It wasn't also, like, turning your head to the camera and coughing.
Yeah, that was something that Star Trek lacked, I thought, was needed more prostate exams. Or, what is that, hernia?
Yeah, inguinal hernia exam. Yeah. The prostate exam is when you go back to the doctor's house and eat, like, a nice candlelit dinner with some fancy wine.
Oh. I'm really glad that one time that I had a physical where they did the hernia check, it was still the cup the balls and cough rather than stick the finger up the ass and cough.
Because
I think I didn't want to be in wrestling that bad.
Yeah, but I mean it is that they think they put a finger in to like they stick a finger in as far as you can go into the inguinal sphincter, which is you know inside your balls, not your ass. It's not inside your balls.
No.
Gorblex says, what was the last word you had to look up in a dictionary? And I actually looked this up in the dictionary on my phone, and it was scoria. S-C-O-R-I-A.
Is it a disease? It sounds like a disease.
It's the layer of oxidized crap that forms on top of molten metal. So it's like, I guess it's kind of like tarnish on molten metal.
It's also one of my favorite Van Morrison songs. That chorus when he goes, S-C-O-R-I-A, scoria.
Madison 14 says, the only buff symbol I don't like is Fat Leon's Fat Loot lyric because it has a key. What the fuck does a key have to do with item drops? Well, because keys are things that you want because they open chests that contain things that you want. Jesus. Shadow Gook says, do you believe that Plants vs. Zombies broke a distinction between hardcore and casual gaming? I don't know, man.
Is it that important?
I don't think casual game means anything, right? Like, you know, do I think that Puzzle Quest broke a distinction between hardcore and casual gaming? No, I just think that Puzzle Quest was a game that had very broad appeal. You know what? You know the conclusion that I've come to? I keep trying to play more Puzzle Kingdoms, and it just kind of sucks. There is this problem in the fucking menu system. Like, the thing is, I'm finding, like, these spells and items that I can supposedly equip on my dudes that does stuff and changes the way the game works, only I cannot fucking figure out how to equip an item on a fucking guy. And it's infuriating that the interface is so bad. Like, there is this mode that you can put stuff in where everything you touch on the bottom screen pops up a little dialogue on top to tell you what it is. The problem is, you can't... What they should have done is made it so you can tell what stuff is while you can actually interact with it, instead of the top screen just being like a fucking picture that's like a background from a cutscene. It's just like some wallpaper. There's no information at all on the top screen when you're actually like trying to do stuff. The tabs that make up your like little inventory control thing, clearly at some point in the development process, they changed the order that the tabs are in, but they didn't switch the fucking hitboxes around. So you click on the first tab, and the first tab highlights. You click on the second tab, and the second tab highlights. You click on the third tab, and the fourth tab highlights. Hmm. You click on the fourth tab, and the fifth tab highlights. You click on the fifth tab, and the third tab highlights. So it's fucking impossible. Like, you could remember it, I guess, but it's, like, how does something that fundamentally broken, like, being unable to rationally navigate the single most important interface element in the game, how does it ship that fucking broken? Ugh, God, the more I play this game, the more it just infuriates me. Because the core gameplay, the little mini-game that you play, you know, the puzzle that is behind Puzzle Kingdoms, is kind of fun. You know, it took me a while to figure out what was going on with it, because the fucking in-game help is useless, and the instruction manual is useless. But the just terrible graphics and just unconscionable bugs. Ugh. God, I want to beat those people.
S. Written B says, .gif equals GIF? Sorry, but that's pretty jarring. Isn't that kind of the point?
Yeah. I just got sick of
people saying, actually, it's pronounced GIF, or actually, it's pronounced GIF because it's graphic interchange format.
Yeah, you know what? The actual answer is that it's GIF, because the guy that fucking invented it says that it's pronounced GIF, right? But I just say GIF because I want to definitely do it wrong. It was just earlier, you know, whenever I was having a conversation with, like, Riff or Zeno about putting GIFs in, we would always end up in these discussions, whether it was GIF or GIF. They were always frustrating, so just switch to GIF.
I think it just shows that nerds think too hard about stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's just the need to demonstrate superior knowledge of something is such that people would split hairs that small.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would say GIF because if it were just a word, that seems like how it would be pronounced. You know, like giraffe, but I also wouldn't argue about it and wouldn't spend time making a case one way or the other.
There's also gift, though, which is not gift. But, I mean, I think really the reason that you and I choose GIF is that we're...
Choosy moms?
Moms, yeah.
Sorry, I wasn't sure if that was where you were going, and I wanted to make sure we got that joke in there, because...
Yeah.
Boy, howdy.
I'm
still kind of stung that I was branded as this kind of noob internet guy for saying URL for URL.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you were one of the people who were like, oh my god, you say URL? It's URL, man. You don't pronounce that.
I can't imagine that I would have made fun of you for it. I would have just said, well, I've never heard anybody say that before. Because I think you're the only person I've ever heard say it. I'm sorry, I didn't ever mean to make you feel like a noob.
I've seen people call themselves the Duke of URL.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Were they cool? Or were they noobs?
Nothing could stop them because they were indeed the Duke of Earl.
I see. MintBacon876 says, guys, I'm graduating high school next week. How should I celebrate my freedom? Have sex with as many girls as possible.
Use a condom.
Stock advice. To anyone.
Use multiple condoms. If you're having sex with multiple partners, let me be clear on that.
Yeah, no, if you're planning on having sex with, like, 5 girls in one night, wear 5 condoms per girl.
No, just wear 5 condoms and take one off every time, because then you'll know when you're done.
That's, like, the worst possible way of approaching that.
How else are you going to know when you hit your quota?
Oh, boy. Dear Sire says, thanks for coming on my solo trench coat run. Thoughts? Bad slash good that this is possible? I mean, I think it's cool. Like, I think it is a testament to the extent to which we get very lucky in our designs a lot of the time that these weird edge case stunts are possible. Like, it's, in a way with Hobopolis, it was more on purpose than in the rest of the game because we specifically left a lot of doors open in Hobopolis that would allow for weird kind of degenerate stunty behavior because we felt like the more of those doors we closed in the Ascension game, the more people who were interested in that kind of stuff were going to, like, just kind of feel like their Cheerios had been pissed on. So we were like, well, you know, Hobopolis, we'll try and, you know, let's try and preserve that, like, feeling that people get of, like, breaking the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we didn't flat out make Super Hodgman impossible. We made it so that we didn't know how you were going to kill him. You know, and in that case, it turned out to be by exploiting a what was pretty obviously a bug, and so, okay, turns out we did sort of make it impossible, right?
Hmm.
So then we worked that out. But it was cool. Did you read about that? Did you read about what he did?
No, I didn't read the whole thing. Yeah.
It was pretty neat. Because, I mean, to get enough turns, you had to, like, ascend in the middle of it. Casual. Huh. You know, I don't know. I thought it was pretty impressive.
By the way, Lady Arsenic says that Gif has a hard G, because if it was a soft G, his homeboys would beat him up.
Uh-huh.
I think it's pronounced with an original G.
Right. Watertail says, Jick, since you don't like Smash Brothers, how do you feel about players using KOL-made SIGs on forums for competitive Smash? Are they just too uncool to play KOL? I don't have a problem with people who play Smash Brothers. I just don't like Smash Brothers.
I mean, if everything that Jick didn't like you were uncool for not liking, then the only people playing our game would be Jick.
Linguini Lad says, I distinctly remember on an older radio show you guys saying that the Spooky Putty Sheet can be used on the Heroes of the Battlefield. I just checked the KOL wiki and it says you can't. Yeah, that got changed because I did not realize what it meant, really, to let that work on the Battlefield Heroes. And so we just ended up making them bosses, which kind of makes sense anyway. Like, I feel like, in general, any monster that you can only fight one of over the course of an ascension should be a boss monster, because mm-hmm. that's kind of what boss means in a context like this.
Right.
You know?
Hmm.
Yeah. So that was one of those cases where I kind of put my foot in my mouth when it happened. But I feel like the community, by and large, the people who were aware of it, basically understood that it was a bad idea to make them puttyable in the first place. You know, that Spooky Putty was already pretty broken, right? Mm-hmm. Like, in terms of just being super overpowered. I still think it was the right thing to do to release it, because I think it's really cool, right?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I was happy with the way that particular confluence of ideas came out, too. Sevalt says, did any of you guys ever play The World Ends With You on the DS? I just picked it up, and the atmosphere and the battle system are totally fantastic. I did, I liked it, sort of. I couldn't keep playing it because I couldn't deal with the battle system. I think I'm just too old. I could not pay attention to both screens. I just couldn't do it. Like, if the gameplay on the bottom had been simpler, maybe, then it would have been less of a big deal. Or if it was more of a thing where, like, you were doing stuff and it would occasionally switch from one screen to another and you did things that had an impact on the other screens but not simultaneously. Like, there was too much going on. The art style is pretty cool. You know, the story was neat. It was nice to see an RPG that was not set in generic fantasy world.
Come on down to Generic Fantasy World. All Generic Fantasies on sale this weekend.
Help Me says, you should figure out a way so that people on their iPhone/iPod touches can listen to the radio. Well, you can listen to our shows from the radio by downloading the podcast.
And that's weird, because iTunes can stream the radio stream.
Can it?
Yeah.
Huh. There are streaming audio apps on, like Pandora runs on the iPhone, and there's like an NPR tuner app that is kind of interesting. It lets you listen to live NPR streams from NPR stations all around the country.
Huh. That's kind of cool.
Which, yeah, I mean, so if I moved somewhere and I liked a particular NPR show and it didn't play on the NPR affiliate wherever I moved to, it would be really handy to be able to do that. Although NPR is so good about making podcasts available that you don't really have to ever miss anything.
That's assuming that anybody with liberal political views would ever buy an Apple product, and we all know that that's not the case.
Yeah. Gays, too, I've heard, are very anti-Apple.
Yeah. It's because they don't like things that are more form over function.
Right. But Apple products are a perfect synthesis of form and function.
I see.
Still, man, the only thing that really bothers me about the iPhone, and I think would bother me in the iPod Touch, I basically never listen to music on my iPhone. I'm always listening to either, like, recordings of radio shows or podcasts. And when you're listening to something that is more than, like, an hour long, you have, like, such coarse granularity in terms of being able to fast forward and rewind. Like, frequently I'll miss something, or I'll find myself drifting off and not paying attention, and then hear the end of something that I missed the beginning of, and I want to rewind by like 10 seconds, but I can't because the bar that you slide the thing back and forth on is really short, so the smallest possible increment that you can go back is like a minute and a half. Right? And even then, it's almost impossible to do it with any kind of accuracy. And it wouldn't matter if it was a song, but, like, since it's not, I don't know. Like, I really wish that maybe the 3.0 software will deliver. Maybe the 3.0 software will solve all of my problems with everything.
Seems like it ought to, since you have that functionality to be able to zoom in on something.
Yeah.
You should be able to just fill the screen sideways with that bar.
Yeah, and, you know, in a lot of cases, turning the phone sideways, you know, will give you like a bigger version of the keyboard or a wider view on whatever it is that you're looking at. But when it's playing a thing, turning it sideways switches into this like fucked up album view thing where you're seeing the art from all of the albums and can browse through them with your fingers, which nobody ever wants to use that.
Yeah.
You know, but what I do want to do sometimes is use my iPhone as an iPod while I'm laying in bed, and I fucking can't turn it sideways so that it's, you know, if I'm laying on my side, I can actually see it up from where I am, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Switches to that bullshit that nobody ever wants. Yeah. Parafert says, Jake, you sounded really good on MC Frontalot's gear. Please do more shows with celebrity guests. Yeah. I think the Thursday shows will be at approximately that audio quality once we get back on the rig at home. Maybe not. I could be wrong. They might not have sounded that good. The mics aren't as nice as the mics MC Frontalot had. But I'm not really inclined to buy, you know, the same kind of equipment that a professional musician buys and does all of his work on.
Yeah.
Radio show, right? Because he's got a tremendous amount of money sunk into that gear.
I could probably use my nicer mic on our show, and that would help a little bit, because to me, like, you coming through the speaker sounds like me just sitting in a room talking to you. Like, the speaker is doing a pretty good job, but this isn't the best mic that I have, but it's the one that's it's easiest to get Sam to play nice with.
Right.
I could use my music recording mic. I'll try and make that work for next week.
Yeah, if you had an actual condenser mic and then something that outputted that to a regular input on the computer, that kind of mixing board that Amp set up for us.
Well, I have a condenser mic that's got a USB tail on it.
Oh.
So.
Oh, that's cool.
It's just the show that I tried to hook it up for, it wouldn't, for some reason, Sam wasn't having any of it.
Huh.
I'll have to give it a shot.
Oh, listen, there are 5 billion sirens going off.
5 billion?
Yeah. Crazy. I wouldn't have thought there were 5 billion ambulances in this town, or police cars.
Well, there's not. There's 2.5 billion ambulances and 2.5 police cars, period. Rickett says, please change the plural of Gibson back to Carlisle's. Oh, same for the vodka Gibson, too. You know, it wasn't until I started actually playing the game again that I realized having the plural be something that's at least parsable to what the singular is kind of useful.
Yeah.
Like when you're multi-selling a bunch of stuff and, like, oh, wait, what the shit was that I just sold?
Right.
So I realized that, you know, it's all well and good to have, like, the plural of pants be pants is precious, but the plural should contain something that would give you a clue. My favorite is still sandfuls of hand, though.
Yeah, I know how much you like your plural jokes.
That particular plural joke, come on, man. That's quality.
Tomato Bob says, is there a way to load your quest log through the chat commands? I don't know. I'm going to see if now go log. / go quest log sends you to the log of dev chat if you have access to the log of dev chat, which you don't. That's really weird because / go log doesn't. No, wait, yes, it does. / go log does that. I should make it so on the live servers go log, or I should have CD Moira make it so on the live server / go log takes you to the quest log. Unless he doesn't tend to do inventory stuff like that, like go inventory. Oh, no. Go equipment. Wow, this is a fucking nice feature. I've never actually played with it before, except to test out the Easter egg, which is the very first thing that I typed. Linguini Lad says, so what is the drop mechanic for Oscus to drop his soda? I do not remember. Thordy Antrol says, are recursive macros possible? I tried to make a macro that consisted of another macro, but I can't get it to work. Just wondering how I might go about doing that. No, you cannot. The only limitations on macros are you cannot call a macro from another macro, and you cannot have more than one command in a macro that actually creates an utterance in chat. Because we wanted to avoid having to parse for infinite loops and people writing macros to spam shit. Mm-hmm. And those are the restrictions. A Deadhead says, the description of the ancient turtle shell helmet makes me happy.
Well, thank you.
Was that the one where I wrote the limerick and couldn't come up with the last line? Gave it to you?
Oh, for the helmet? Yeah, it is. I used your last line and just put another line in there too.
No, the farmer has not left the dell yet. Oh, Glebe says, who would win in a battle between the Gay Nigger Association of America and the Gay Communist Gun Club? I don't know, man.
I have to imagine the Gay Communist Gun Club because they have the guns.
Yeah, the Gay Nigger Association of America is just trying to figure out where they left their blade. Noah M. says, narrative explanation as to why and how certain items attract more meat from monsters than others. Bonus if you do it without saying magic. I mean, things that are really sharp let you carve more meat from the bones of your foes.
Mm-hmm. And we're not saying that you actually kill your foes, just some of them are carrying bones.
Yeah. I guess jiff is to jick as diff is to dick. That's the way it has written me. Hush says, you should make one of the gnomes say the word poignant. It would be a poignant use of the word poignagunet. Deadhead says, the Dreams and Lights effect mentions that you got it from the potion that the maidens gave you, even though there are other ways of getting the effect. Are there? Huh. I don't know. Occasional JD says, in my only experience with a bucket bong, the fire that was used to burn the weed partially melted the lid of the bottle, so when I pulled it up, it created some insane funnel-looking shape with a cone piece at the thin end. Worked pretty well, though. Smoking some melted plastic along with your weed. That stuff's bad for your brains. RDFM says, hey guys, love the show. Jick, you had it right last week. The Phlogiston and the Just Kidding shirts both came from me. Thanks for the mention. So which badass is more badass? Badass with no hyphen from the belt or badass with a hyphen from the club? And then he says, badass, badass, buffalo, buffalo, etc. I think there are other places where we sometimes hyphenate things and sometimes don't.
I tend to hyphenate them because if it's, like, for me, badass is either one word or hyphenated. But it's like an overly carbonated soda. I would put a hyphen between overly and carbonated, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I think I do that sometimes, but not others.
It's just one of those fun things. Like, inconsistencies in text are fun to find and talk about.
Yep. Blathersby says, Mist classes don't need much love. I'm playing as one now. Make a staff. Buy a codex. Get the plus spell damage gear. My current Possumancer is way more overpowered than my old Seal Clubber. Just because you can't spam LTS to win every fight doesn't mean they don't need help. Wait, doesn't mean they do need help? Insinuate says, what would be the chances of getting a feature added to our contact list, like the plus on the clan member list that shows us who's online and if they are in chat or not? That is not a bad idea, actually. And I can't imagine it being any worse on the database than the clan query is. So, you know what? Now I'm not entirely sure I'm right about that. But I'll ask C.D. Moyer. He'll eat anything. Play Havoc says, please talk about this issue and links to his forum post about how he wants the fucking gift items to be sellable in the mall. All right. Are you ready for me to talk about it? No!
Yeah. I mean, no. Yes, I concur with his no.
Popplebunk says, I'm up here at the cottage celebrating the May 2-4 weekend. What? Drinking martinis and beer and eating steaks. Is there some beginning of summer holiday you guys get into?
Cinco de Mayo.
What? Oh, 2-4? What? No. I don't know, man. I didn't do anything on Cinco de Mayo.
We did that party last year that turned out really well, so we did another one this year, and it again turned out really well. So, given that we're, like, the closest to Mexico most of our friends in Minnesota can get, I feel like it's our duty. In addition right. to hitting that booty, we have to do a Cinco de Mayo party.
That's weird. I was just going to say something about banging that booty.
You know what's kind of dumb was that people declaring that the 4th of May is Star Wars Day because May the 4th be with you?
Oh, come on. I like that.
It's like, I thought that was kind of a funny joke, but then, like, people started saying, hey, May the 4th is Star Wars Day. And it became an actual thing. And then it's like the B-sharps. It just gets less funny every time I hear it. The B-sharps. B-sharps. Lilac points out that the fancy but probably evil chocolate can give you dreams and lights.
Oh. Huh. I see. Well, that's the answer to that question I asked. You ready to get off the radio, sir?
I think so. My speculum's on deck. I'll be on my show tomorrow, and Jick will be on Thursday.
Indeed.
Good night, everybody.